Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Hey, happy to announce something really cool that you won't want to miss. We just launched The Lounge. This is a free weekly newsletter tailored just for you, the physician entrepreneur and investor. You're going to stay ahead with the latest news in tech trends, entrepreneurial strategies, alternative investing, and passive income tips. And there's so much more, all designed to further your career and financial goals, delivered straight to your inbox every week. We'll also be spotlighting fellow physician entrepreneurs, sharing success stories, and providing valuable lessons from peers who are navigating the same exciting path that you are. No cost, no hassle, just important insights delivered straight to you every week. To sign up, just go to bootstrapmd.com/the lounge and subscribe today. It's 100% free. Once you enter the lounge, get ready to start shaping your future now. Hey guys, this is Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD. This is the podcast for physician and healthcare entrepreneurs. As you know, from time to time, we like to spotlight coaches and consultants who are making a difference in the medical community. And we certainly have one who is. And this is certainly a topic that I have not seen covered. So I'm really excited to hear about from him and his expertise and sharing with us. We're going to be talking about ADHD, and who we have here today is a certified life coach specializing in supporting medical professionals with ADHD, leveraging his own personal experience with ADHD and his close family of healthcare professionals. This gentleman brings a unique understanding and perspective to his clients. He recognizes the immense pressure faced by those working in the demanding medical field and how ADHD can further complicate challenges like time management, focus, and work-life balance. Through personalized coaching, he equips medical professionals with practical strategies to overcome these obstacles, build strong and meaningful relationships, and create a fulfilling life beyond medicine. His mission is not only to help his clients survive, but to thrive both personally and professionally. I'd like to bring to the program Michael Carlini. Michael, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you, Mike?
Great. And if I didn't mention, Michael is the founder of Carlini Coaching, which focuses on ADHD for medical professionals. So, Michael, let's talk about it. You mentioned in the bio that you have dealt with ADHD as well as with your family. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, which one would you like me to start with? Because I can talk about my personal experience.
Definitely. Let's start with there.
Yeah. So I was actually diagnosed at a pretty young age. I presented as the stereotypical boy, who was a little bit hyperactive, but did well enough in class. So basically, once my parents started to hear about that, they had already kind of seen ADHD in my cousins. And so when it came up, it wasn't a surprise. Started me on medication. And that kind of started my journey in terms of having ADHD and like receiving treatment and having interventions. So that's really where it started. And honestly, throughout my life, the goal was actually to avoid really looking at it and understanding it because it felt like it was going to be too painful to really dive into what is wrong with me. Eventually, as I grew older, actually entered into coaching, I realized that if I can lean into this and understand myself a lot better, I can feel a lot more confident in who I am and find ways that I can truly perform to the level that I want to. So that's my general experience. I understand that there's a lot of stigma that's felt in being open or disclosing your ADHD within the workplace. As a teacher, it was one of those things that when I disclosed that, my department head really didn't understand it, nor did he think it was an asset to the school. So yeah, it was pretty painful to be open and honest about it. But in reality, it actually helped me to be more successful within that environment.
So you mentioned you ADHD, you suffered it as a child. How was it first brought up? Was it from the teachers? Was it from your own
parents or family members?
I think it's unique in that once you know what it looks like, you start to be able to spot it pretty much anywhere it's showing up. And so my parents definitely recognized it early, but they were more or less probably waiting for teachers to say, hey, your son is like having some difficulties sitting still or controlling that impulse to just answer the questions before being called on.
And so, you mentioned you were on medications. Did you also have a coach or any other type of ways to treat this besides drugs?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually started working with a coach in college, and Casey Dixon, she now focuses primarily on working with lawyers with ADHD. And the intervention that I received from her really helped me to say, okay, well, what is this actually doing? Like, what is ADHD actually doing in terms of like, how is it impacting my academic success? And it went so much further than I'm having difficulty with focusing. And it went more into like having difficulties with activating for tasks on time, having difficulties with organization and prioritization. So that's really what opened my eyes in terms of understanding myself, my ADHD, and then really like, well, how do I approach these challenges in a way that is friendly for my brain?
This podcast is sponsored by Doc2Doc Lending. Are you a physician looking to consolidate your loans or maybe start a new project like opening up your own clinic? Doc2Doc Lending understands the unique financial challenges you face and is here to support you every step of the way. You can benefit from low interest rates, a lightning fast approval process, and personalized loan options tailored exclusively for physicians. This company was founded by doctors for doctors. Don't let financial limitations hold you back any longer. Visit bootstrapmd.com/doc2doc to unlock your path into financial freedom today. That's bootstrapmd.com/doc2doc, and you can get started right away. Doc2Doc Lending helps empower physicians one loan at a time.
You also mentioned you became a teacher, and you said it affected your career. Can you talk a little bit more about that, if you're able to?
Yeah. So I'll be as vulnerable as I can be about this, because I think that's really important. I think so many people with ADHD have these very challenging experiences, and the reaction to that is generally to hide it and feel like I can't share this with anybody else. So as a teacher, I taught biology. I actually have a degree in biology, and I decided late in my degree that I really enjoyed teaching. I was a TA for a lot of biology classes in undergraduate, and I just decided this is actually really exciting and engaging, and I really want to inspire the next generation of students to really fall in love with nature and biology in general. So following that, I pretty much pursued a teaching career because, of course, I want to make lives better for the next generation. And yeah, so getting into that environment, being a teacher, it requires you to do a lot of work, and a lot of it not super well compensated for. But yeah, it was particularly challenging because it required me to do a lot of organization, prioritization, and giving direct feedback to a lot of students. So the way it impacted me is that one of my biggest strengths is actually being able to be creative and create lessons that were truly engaging. So for example, with the human anatomy and physiology class that I was teaching to seniors, we used an Arduino to create a heart rate sensor. So they had to learn how to program it, put it all together, and really explain how it works. So really great at that innovative lab creation. But that means that I also feel like, okay, well, if I'm capable of doing this level of work, this level of engaging lesson planning, I should be doing that all the time. But in reality, you know, trying to do that for all of my classes every week just too much, right? So it led to this kind of cycle of high performance, burnout, which led to a little bit of a crash, and then recovery, and then keep on going like that. But those periods of burnout meant that sometimes things would get rated a little bit later than was expected. And so that eventually caught the attention of the administration. What I've heard since leaving this this teaching environment is that a lot of teachers actually get great mentorship and support in terms of like navigating those first 2 or 3 years. But in general, I wasn't given any of that. So it made it even harder on me to find some success in that environment. But yeah, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, and I appreciate, thank you for being transparent in your journey. So is that what led to you, as a way of, with your condition, with the ADHD, did that lead to helping others with this condition?
Yeah, I really felt like the people that I was impacting the most were those who had ADHD. I had a lot of students who came to me. Some of them were my direct students that I was teaching, but some of them were just students within the school who heard that I was very open about my ADHD. And in doing so,
was this high school or college?
This was high school. Yeah, this was a high school. And they came to me asking me for some support. And generally speaking, I just gave them some strategies and tools, as well as really just discussed with them and their parents what options there are out there to get support. And
so they knew about your condition.
Yeah, I was very open about it. And I really felt like it was important to be open about it, just mm-hmm. because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around what ADHD is, and is it a lack of parenting or lack of discipline? Is it being overdiagnosed, underdiagnosed? Yeah. So I felt like it was really important for me to be open about that. And as a result, I saw several students go from, having to go to summer school, failing classes, to turning it around and being on Dean's List. So it was really just that experience and how fulfilling it was to see these students turn it around made me go, actually, I think the reason why I got into teaching is more this work, which I'm doing for 5% of my workday, rather than the other stuff that I'm doing, which is grading, classroom management, and all the other tasks. So after 3 years of teaching, I just decided this is way more fulfilling than my current job. And so I left teaching and started a coaching certification program that was focused on working with students with ADHD. But yeah, that's basically what led me into it. And obviously further down the road, now I'm ending up with working with medical professionals with ADHD. And I can explain that like me to.
I'd love to, but since you brought it up, I do want to just a minute or two talk about the myths of ADHD, because there are some misconceptions out there where, where people say, oh, well, I've got too many things and maybe I have ADD, or even as an entrepreneur, we talk about entrepreneur ADD or ADHD, and it's a bit flippant and maybe it's not so. So let's talk about it. You said one of the myths was lack of parenting or bad parenting. Can you discuss more about that?
I think the assumption is that we see behavioral challenges occurring with a lot of kids with ADHD, and it's usually a result of like impulse control. Yeah, impulsivity, hyperactivity, right? So when we look at that behavior from a neurotypical lens of just like what is normal human behavior and how do people normally act in terms of like intentionality, we go, okay, well, this person or this child has decided to do this, and this must be a result of the parent not appropriately reinforcing the appropriate behavior. So in reality, what you would hear if you were to talk to that same child is, they knew what the right thing was to do, but it wasn't until after they had already behaved in whatever way that they realized, oh, oops, that's not, I didn't mean to do that. And so, yeah, you get this massive misunderstanding from people who just don't understand that there isn't that moment of pausing and considering what the consequence is in that situation. So that's something that you'll see a lot more with children, but with adults with ADHD, that impulsivity, hyperactivity tends to show up in different ways. It's more of the impulsivity of thought. It's going from one thought to the next and then not realizing that they've drifted away from whatever the original and important thought was until, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes down the line or much longer. Yeah.
Great, great. Thanks for sharing.
As a doctor, I wasn't used to asking for help, especially when it came to subjects outside of medicine. But then I found physiciancoaches.com. In an instant, I found hundreds of experts to help me in all aspects of life. On areas I was afraid to ask. Dealing with burnout, starting a side gig, money management, even help with my marriage. And the best part? Nearly all experts are physicians themselves. After reading their profile and a quick chat, I knew I found the right mentor for me. At physiciancoaches.com, help from professional colleagues is just a click away.
So you mentioned you had been working with students, you know, just off the cuff, you know, sharing that. And then you decide, hey, maybe this can lead into something more substantial, maybe into a career. And specifically health professionals. So tell me about that. What led you draw, you got your coaching certification. What led you to draw to that group in particular?
Yeah. So I'll just tell you, working with high school and college students during the pandemic was painful. I'll just say that. Yeah, it was just like, you know, the previous experience of like having like in-person interaction with these students and being able to like actually physically see their backpack and actually have that real one-on-one connection, it disappeared. And so it was a lot of like, I'll keep poking and prying and hoping that the student would be open to sharing how things are truly going. So that on top of really when you deal with a high school or college student, the parent is the primary driver for why the student has gotten into coaching. And so I was trying to balance the satisfaction and happiness of the student and that coaching process and the happiness and satisfaction of the parent. And in reality, those things are kind of in opposition most of the time, right? Like the student might be happy that the parent's off of their case, but the parent might not be happy because the student is now having that opportunity to fail and experiment, and they're hoping for things to get turned around with no trip up. So all that to say is after a while of doing that and having a couple of adult coaching clients interspersed in my like client load, I realized what I was really enjoying was working with adults. And then I had two doctors that I was coaching in 2022, and I realized, oh, wow, this is actually really engaging. I feel incredibly passionate about supporting these doctors because both of them were amazing at what they did and do, but they just really were struggling with balancing the work and then life, right? So they were really great at showing up for patients. They were by all means considered great doctors, but they felt incredibly burnt out, and a lot of them were way behind on documentation and image reading. So yeah, it really made me go, oh, this is really interesting. And I know that I have a lot of connection to this. I think if I could really help these doctors with ADHD find balance and success, it will mean that their patients are much better off and the doctor's much better off in the long term. So, and hopefully that means that they stay within field of medicine for longer rather than potentially deciding to leave as a result of how unhealthy that career was for them or is for them. So
yeah, it's something, burnout is definitely something that is prevalent in medicine. But yeah, I think that's an interesting point that perhaps, you know, for those who have ADHD, or maybe they don't know it, it could be a factor. And before the call, you shared a statistic with me that was really revealing about clinicians or healthcare professionals and ADHD. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I'll definitely have to fact check this for like specificity's sake. But yeah, what I would say is ADHD is not widely recognized within medicine, right? So of the studies that I've looked at, there was one from University of Michigan that looked at ADHD, the prevalence of ADHD in medical learners. And what they found was about 0.3% of all the medical learners studied reported that they had a diagnosis of ADHD. And what I found interesting about that is if we looked at careers kind of like similar in level of achievement, so let's say lawyers, the National Bar Association did a study of all lawyers, or not all lawyers, but a large subset of lawyers, and about 13% reported that they had a diagnosis of ADHD. So we know that ADHD impacts people regardless of IQ and achievement. So it doesn't really make sense that we would see it at such a low prevalence level within medicine. I think that's a lot more to do with the stigma, as well as the lack of understanding around, like, what does ADHD actually look like in people that never had behavioral issues and really performed well throughout their entire academic career. So, yeah.
Yeah, and just throwing it out, I think that number is probably underrepresented. In addition to the factors that you had mentioned, I also think physicians being on medications, you know, so that for ADHD, the stigma with Ritalin and these types of medications, they're not going to take it. Because, you know, in fear of being, you know, under treatment, being on a medication like that, I definitely can tell you that physicians would not, would probably not be on those type of medications if they can, or at least hide it. So they're probably not representing it. They're probably not disclosing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the hiding it is definitely true. I think there's also a lot of fear and a lack of information out there about what is it, how does it impact your career? So people are concerned about liability insurance and how it might impact your ability to practice, and will it drive up the cost of that? It shouldn't, right? Like, the Americans with Disability Act should protect you, but of course everything's on a case-by-case basis. So I think most people, in the lack of understanding of the legal implications of having a diagnosis and disclosing that diagnosis to their workplace, opt to like play it safe, right? I'll just hide this. I just won't even talk about this or bring this up in the workplace. So that fear, or that inability to really be open about what challenges they're facing, often means that they're working extra hard to compensate and really keep up with their peers.
Well, Michael, again, this has been a very illuminating conversation. And if you're just joined in, you know, we're talking with Michael Carlini, founder of Carlini Coaching. He is an expert on and a consultant, and works with healthcare professionals who may be dealing with ADHD. And you can find out more information on his website, carlinicoaching.com. We'll have a link here in the show notes. So for those listening here who perhaps they've been diagnosed with ADHD, or feel they may have some traits of ADHD, they want to reach out to you, they can go to your website. Can you tell them, you know, how does that work for when you're dealing with prospective client, and maybe share some of your methods and strategies for someone who might be interested?
Yeah. So of course they can go to my website, and then they can schedule a consultation with me. Consultation's free. If it means that they want to schedule maybe like two consultations with me, if they felt like they really enjoyed the first conversation, but they really just wanted to get to know a little bit more or do a little bit of a trial coaching session, I'm very much open to that, right? So, because it's, of course, a big investment, as well as I'm asking for someone to be incredibly vulnerable with me in terms of embarking on this journey to understand their ADHD, as well as start to make changes, right? Like, change is hard, especially behavioral change. So once they decide that they want to work with me, we're really diving into creating that coaching relationship. So I'm using a mix of the ICF's principles of partnering and contract, creating a contract or an agreement with our clients. And from there, we're really just starting to dive into how is ADHD showing up. So more often than not, people are coming to me and saying it's really difficult for me to get my work done during the day because of the constant interruptions and just generally very like hectic environment. So what I do with my clients is basically ask them like, well, what type of interruptions are happening and how have you set the expectations with the people that are interrupting? So in some examples, I would say emergency medicine, there's not really much of an opportunity to be like, we can delay that. But for GI, for example, so my wife is a transplant hepatologist. For the most part, she has the ability to delay until she has completed whatever work. But her nurses, the schedulers, the residents and fellows, they just need to know like, hey, I'm going to be working on X from this time to this time. If you have any questions, just hold off, right? So what I'm doing with them is really like helping them to see what opportunities are there in terms of setting boundaries, how they can form those relationships in a way that actually serves them without having to ever say the diagnosis of ADHD. Everybody can have difficulties with multitasking. So why not just say, I have difficulties with multitasking and getting work done efficiently when being interrupted? No one's going to go, ding, ding, this is ADHD. They're just going to go, well, this person knows themselves pretty well, and they're asking for this time and space to actually do their work. So that would be an example of how I'm supporting them or strategies that I might employ. Others would be making them aware of assistive technology. I guess Dragon has now come out with like an AI note or note-taking software. And then Epic has their own AI note-taking process as well. So really, we're starting to see the decrease in demand on the executive function of trying to sort through all of the information that a patient's brought into that patient interaction. And it's doing all that summarization. So it's not having to be a burden on your working memory to go, okay, well, what the patient talked about going to a baseball game, that's obviously not important, but it's still, my brain is obviously still holding onto that. So instead of having to sort through that, it's already sorted through for them. So yeah, it really is just about helping them to find ways to be better supported within their environment without necessarily having to do any disclosure.
Right. Great. Well, again, Michael, I want to thank you for your time. Definitely shining light on a subject that's not talked about a lot. This was Michael Carlini, founder of Carlini Coaching. And you can go to carlinicoaching.com to book a free consultation and see if this is right for you. Thanks again, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
For everything that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. As always, as an entrepreneur or as a physician, we're going to have our ups and downs. Do something little each day to get you closer to your goals, finding a mentor, finding a coach that you need, and keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now, let's get to work.